I love the beach. How many of you love the beach? How many of you are like, man, I love the mountains. I love the mountains. Give me some mountains. Sorry, I just saw that little beach clip and about got lost and wasn't going to be able to preach and missing the beach. And Hurricane Florence destroyed our little beach area that we go to every year. But how are we this morning? Come on. You doing well? Man, last night was a sweet, sweet time as we had our family night at Tate Farms. I thought it was going to be a PR disaster as it was shared over like 200 times on Facebook and like 14,000 people were touched by those shares and like over 2,000 people were interested and I was absorbing the cost. We were absorbing the cost, just a few dollars for each ticket, and I was like, oh man. And so I talked with Tate Farms, and they had people calling for like 2 days saying, hey, family night, it's free, right? And I was like, oh, man, we're in trouble. But it was beautiful. Of course, it just taught me a lesson to the Lord. Just trust me, Ryan. Just trust me. It's all right, brother. And it was a great night. It was just super sweet. We learned a lot of how to amp it up next year to add so much more to it. But for those of you that were able to make it last night, thank you. It was a great time. It was good to see you connecting with your little ones and each other. And it was awesome. It's good stuff. Amen. Hey, guess what, y'all? Got my Bible. Man, I'm so excited about it. It feels so nice. I mean, if you want to touch it afterwards, you can. You can lick it. You can help me break it in, you know. I'm really excited about that. For those of you who don't know, I've been missing the Bible for 5 months. It's still to be discovered. I don't know where it is, but somebody hopefully will find it and maybe be blessed by it. You never know. So today, the fourth installment of our relationship series, hashtag relationship goals. And so say it with me. After I say it one time, you're going to spell it. Respect. Everybody say respect. Respect. Now spell it with me. R-E-S-P-E-C-T. Sock it to me, sock it to me, sock it to me. Marriage, love and respect. Marriage is one of God's greatest gifts, but it can also be very challenging. Amen. Often the challenges emerge because we fail to pursue. We fail to pursue God's purpose or follow His design for what marriage was meant to be. You see, God's intention for our marriages is that we become a reflection of the relationship between Jesus Christ and the church. As both husband and wife each fulfill his or her role in marriage, loving and respecting one another, the world has the opportunity, a huge opportunity, to see the love of Jesus lived out before them. But here's a little disclaimer this morning before I continue, because we've done so much on relationships. I want to say that I don't come to you this morning sharing about love and respect or sharing about marriages and the three lessons that we're going to get from Ephesians today with just thinking that everybody's got it all together. Why would we need this message, right? But I want to name something this morning as I sweep across the audience, is that we acknowledge stepping into this and praying over this week, that there's a lot of you that would be honest and say that my marriage is struggling. We're in a heated season. It's like the hot Alabama sun up in my home. And there's tension, and there's unforgiveness, and we're having a hard time of knowing how to move forward. And for some marriages, you've hidden that even from each other so long that you've become so distanced in your marriage that you don't even realize it. For some, you may be just like on cloud nine. Your baby walks through the door after work and the butterflies start fluttering again in your belly. Some of y'all are like, what's that? And so you're thinking, man, we have something strong going. We have something powerful going. And there's some of you that you've never dealt with any issues yet. You've never struggled yet. You've only been married 2 days. And I'm here to tell you, you will. Every relationship has problems. So my disclaimer is this. Have hope. Cling to the promises that are going to be put before you, presented to you today. And I'm telling you, I believe that these are transformative lessons that we're going to be learning today, not just for the marriages in the room, but for those of you that are not married. For some of you not married, you're like, I ain't never going there again. Not happening again. For some of you, you're young, and marriage is still a distant thought. But these lessons still apply to you. Transformative, healthy, biblical marriage can happen. And these lessons, I believe, are going to pave the way for a lot of you to experience that. So before we continue, Father, we want to create space to hear from you. So often we can plan our services, one thing leading into the next, and not feeling like we can have any quiet in our services. The early church didn't need anything but the truth of the gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ was enough. So help us today to embrace you, to embrace what it is that begins to penetrate our hearts. And may we not fall into the temptation this morning of neglecting whatever that might be, but to lean into it, to absorb it, and to allow you to do what only you can in our soul, in our spirit, in our marriages, in our relationships. We love you. Fill this place. Fill our souls as we lay this before you and acknowledge that the reason we do what we do is for you, because of you, and whose we are. In Jesus' name, that we all pray. Amen. So the title of the message today is Love and Respect. And maybe you've heard that a woman needs to be loved by her husband and a man needs to be respected by his wife, right? However, if you're the average man or woman on this planet, you're thinking, sure, that sounds awesome, Ryan. High five. But I have no clue really what that looks like. I don't know what that means. All right, it's an easy, simple concept for me to hear, but then to apply it, I'll just move on because that's too difficult. You see, men often define love differently than their wives, amen? While women oftenly don't know how to really even define respect, especially in our culture today, amen? Come on. So if both you and your spouse have these needs, but you don't know what they are, you don't know how to fill them, you don't know how to satisfy them, you don't know how to satisfy each other, without a definition, it's like trying to throw a dart at a board, but you don't know where to aim. You don't know where the bullseye is. It's rolling all over the board. And that's why we're here with this message today, because once you and your spouse understand what it means to love and respect, relational landmines can be easily avoided, right? The result can be greater love. Who doesn't want to experience greater love within their relationships, but especially their marriage? Deeper intimacy. Who doesn't want to experience deeper intimacy with their bride or their husband, and movement together towards the kind of marriage that God desires for us, to not settle any longer, to not justify, that's how I roll, that's how I was brought up, that's how my daddy did it, that's how my grandpa did it. Well, for some of us, maybe today's the day that you choose to break the chain and to change directions. Because here's the thing, Scripture teaches us that Christians should honor and respect all people. Amen. 1 Peter 2:17 says, respect everyone and love the family of believers. Every human being bears the image of God. You think about that? We were talking about in our worship team meeting this morning that we are God's handiwork. I want you to think about that for a moment. Handiwork, it's not like a piece of wood or a knife being welded together or wood is just gone through a machine. It takes the master of that piece, his handiwork. You get a piece of wood that's carved, meticulous details all throughout it, and it sells for more than you would think a piece of wood does because of the creator's handiwork. Amen? You see what I'm saying? So think about yourself this morning, that you are God's handiwork. Yes, you're his masterpiece, but you're his handiwork. But too often we get too wrapped up in our faults, in our past, and our struggles and our circumstances, and we miss the value that he places on our life, that we are his handiwork, that he knew you, but well before the womb. He knew you. It's in Scripture. We're just not going there. You can read it later. He knew you before the creation of the planet. Come on, somebody. You are God's handiwork. Doesn't that do something up in here? I mean, think about that. So when we read this, every human being bears the image of God. And so, of course, we are called to respect and honor that. And, of course, Scripture also teaches us to love our neighbor. Leviticus 19:18 says, do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone amongst your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Enough said, period. I am the Lord. So guess what you best be doing? I'm not saying it. He or she is not saying it. He is saying it. He says, I am the Lord. Love your neighbor as yourself. And as Jesus in his famous story in Luke 10 makes the point that our neighbor is whatever person that God has placed in front of us. So all Christians are to love everyone, and all Christians should honor everyone. Love everyone, honor everyone. That is the baseline here today. But when we come down to the particular relationship of husbands to wives, wives to husbands, Scripture gives us an important additional emphasis. That husbands are told specifically to love their wives as Christ loved the church. And wives are specifically to respect their husbands as the church does Christ. So let's take a look at our main passage today in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 21 through 33. And I am going to ask you to stand with me on this one. If you need to close your eyes to absorb it, if you need to turn in circles to stay focused, or just peer at the words on the screen, do whatever you need to focus on this passage. Verse 21, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ also, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word. And to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for their body, just as Christ does the church. For we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife. And the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Now, you may be seated. There are three things that we can take away from this The lessons are not limited to only three. Of course, we could expand on this greatly, but we should make a point of grasping at least these three elements, all right? And the first one today is that love and respect are a calling. We are called as followers of Jesus to love and respect. All right, the commands are directed to our particular and relative weaknesses. I want you to think about this. We are told to do things that we might not do unless we were told. Does it remind you of anything, parents? Right? For example, children are to obey their parents because it's not easy for children to do so, as we see in Ephesians 6:1, right? In the same way, husbands are told to love their wives because it is easy for husbands to not do so, isn't it? Likewise, wives are told to honor their husbands because it's easy for wives not to do so. We are called to do things that might not occur naturally to us. If we're all doing these things naturally, why bring it up, right? Why is it in the Word of God if we're all good at it and that's where we're wired? We're just rolling as soon as we say, I do. Love and respect, 100%. We got it. Rock stars we are at this love and respect thing. Let's roll. Don't need the Bible. Not happening. So men must be called to sacrifice for their wives, to love them with everything they've got as Christ gave himself for the church and loved the church. Amen? And women must be urged to respect their husbands. A woman can naturally love a man she does not honor or respect very much. I want you to think about that. And this is something that Paul would identify as a problem, as a trouble. How many times have you heard of a terrible story about a girl returning to her abusive boyfriend because she loves him, even though he treats her like dirt? How many of you have heard stories like this? All right. But if you asked her if she respects him, even though she keeps returning to him, says, but I love him, she would reply, do you respect him, though? Are you kidding? Him? No. And men must be called to give themselves away for their wives, as Christ did for us, right? This is what a wedding means. This is what that commitment looks like, is that I am giving myself away. All right? And so before I move on to point number two, I must briefly touch on a very known dirty word that some of y'all, every time that I read it in scripture, there it goes again. There it goes again. You ready for it? A very dirty word in our society today, and especially today. Oh, I'm so fed up with it. Submission. Oh, no, Ryan, please go to number two. Please. First, let me say this, that the term submission has been completely thwarted by our society today. All right? So we're going to look at it in a biblical framework today. All right? Submission can't be looked at through either a feminist or a chauvinist lens. All right? It's not an issue of the husband being the lord over the wife and the wife being the slave of her husband. That's not what it's about. That's not the way it works. Submission doesn't mean doormat. It doesn't mean that the caveman mentality rises where the man says, woman, get your barefoot pregnant self in the kitchen and make me a sandwich now. That's not what it means. Because you be starving, boy. Our concept of submission has to come from the concept of submission that exists between Christ and the church. Christ loves the church, and the church submits to him. You see what I'm saying? So Christian marriage involves mutual submission, sacrificing our personal desires for the good of the spouse, and submitting ourselves to Christ as the Lord within our home and our lives. Amen? All right, so the wife's submission to her husband is one way that she can demonstrate her submission to Christ. It's a beautiful thing. I will submit to you because I'm submitting to Christ and his leadership in my life. She does this voluntarily out of love for her husband and for Christ. Submission at its heart is the wife trusting the husband to be the head of the family, understanding that God will hold him accountable for the success or failure of that marriage and family. In fact, there's a couple sitting in here today that my wife and I, we have a date morning on my day off, Friday mornings. And we were talking about this message, and we were talking about submission and love and respect. And I'm just going to, you know, blow their name out there, but Scott and LaDonna Manier. We've been friends for several years, and I looked at my wife and I said, you know what, LaDonna owns it. She knows exactly how submission biblically should play out because she is an independent woman. But she knows that I'm going to offer my suggestion, my opinion on the topic that we have to decide about, but I'm going to honor you, Scott, as the head of this home. And I know you've got the final say in this decision. High five. I know y'all got mistakes and struggles too, and everybody in the house is like, I don't want to look at them the rest of the day. You see, it's trusting God that he will take care of you as you trust your husband, especially if your husband is trying to live for Christ. Now, submission means a whole different thing if they're not living for Jesus. It's tough, ladies, right? But guess what God will honor? Guess what he'll honor? Another way to look at this thing about submission is to understand that one of the husband's jobs is to protect you, ladies. We're supposed to guard you. We're supposed to be the king of the palace that says, you know, they're going to swell up when it comes to protecting their bride. Amen? It may help you to think of an umbrella. The umbrella isn't any more special than you and I are, but when we stray from the protection of the umbrella, then you are prone to the elements, right? You are in trouble. And so when you submit to the spiritual leadership of your husband, there's protection there. There's protection there. Just as when the husband submits to Christ, there's protection from the forces of evil that try to tear us and our marriages apart. So men, first to you, in order for you to gain the love and respect, is submit to Christ. Surrender to Christ and his leadership in your life and stay under that umbrella of protection. Because when you swerve out here, decide you're going to do your own thing, or you're going to swerve to the other side and say, I'm a give in to temptation. I'm going to feed my selfish desires. Guess what? The umbrella of protection is removed from your life. And so guess what? Not just your life, but your family's life is in trouble as well, as a direct response to your choices. So men, we got a lot of responsibility on our shoulder. It's a tall task, but it's a worthy task. Amen? Now, we can move on to point number two. So someone say, let's go. Please. Number two, love and respect are fuel for successful marriages. Men run on respect and women run on love. All right, the command reveals something about the needs of the other person. In other words, if the Bible said that shepherds should feed the sheep, a reasonable suggestion would be that the sheep need some food. They need some grub, right? Amen? So when husbands are told to love their wives, we can understand from this that wives need to be loved. That's their fuel. All right, so when wives are told to respect their husbands, we can understand from this that husbands need to be respected, right? And this is a man's fuel. Think of it as two kinds of cars that run on different kinds of fuel, diesel and regular. Say men run on respect, women or wives run on love. Fill your spouse's tank is what I'm saying. All right, men run on respect. All the men in the house with a grunt said, yep, right? We do. And women, you live on love. So with a sweet little you agree. Yes, that was so sweet. So in saying this, remember that we're talking about emphasis here. We're talking about emphasis on a basic level. Everyone needs to be loved and everyone needs to be respected. Double high five, we agree with that. But when Scripture singles out husbands and wives living together, the men are told to love and the women are told to respect. flip this around and you see that men should remember that their wives need to be loved and their wives should remember that their husbands need to be respected. But remembering this keeps us from giving what we would like to be getting. How often do men give respect and how often do women give love, thinking that that's what the other person needs? George Bernard Shaw once observed that we should not do unto others as we would have them do unto us. Their taste may not be the same as ours. There once was a husband, to expand on that point, who got his wife a nice shotgun for Christmas. Right? You heard this story before. So she was a shrewd Christian lady, and so the next Christmas, you know what she got her husband was a nice set of pearls. And she told her friends they were very nice pearls. You see, we often give what we want, need, or desire. Often when a marriage is in a tough spot, both spouses tend to give what they feel they need. I need to be respected right now, so that's what I'm going to give. And a lot of times, like the five love languages, if you've ever gone down that path, is that if your love language is acts of service, but your spouse's love language is physical touch, you give acts of service. You serve, 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 but yet she feels so neglected on the physical touch, you're not achieving anything, and you're wondering, what in the world? I'm loving you, I'm loving you, I'm loving you. But it's not working. And you learn their love language. And you learn that women just want to be loved. And you learn that men want to be respected. So when you're in that tough spot, love and respect, respectively, need to play out properly, right? And so wives reach out to their husbands with love when respect is what they really need or what would really help in the situation. And there's where the submission comes in. And husbands can back away, thinking that this is their form of respect. I'll just give her space. I don't want to talk anyway. I'm not a talker. I don't need that many words in a day. But in fact, what she needs is you to lean in hard and heavy with love, which means, like we've talked already, listening, not thinking about the ball game, not being so distracted like I am. So when we do this, the love is going to be closer. The intimacy is going to be closer. Does that make sense? That love and respect are fuel for your marriage. And the third and final thing is that love and respect are game changers. When you embrace this and you sit here today and don't allow your pride to well up, but you remain humble and say, this is worth a shot. And no matter where you're at, that you say, you know what, I can always go a little bit further. You know what, I may be doing all right in this. I'm trying hard, but I can try a little bit more. I don't fully agree with him. You know, I still want my sandwich. I still want my sweet tea. I still want to sit in my chair during ball game. You get me a drink. I enjoy that. But man, how amazing the sacrifice would look when you tell her to sit down. I'm gonna go get you a drink, baby. Woo! Watch out for 9 o'clock p.m. I'm sorry for the young ears in the audience. Love and respect are game changers, meaning they produce change. This will produce change in your marriage. If you look at your marriage today and you know, and you can, you know, marriages can't even sit down and have a conversation about this stuff. I meet with them weekly, either by phone or in person. And you're at such odds that to have a love and respect conversation, it just ain't happening. Because there's so much pride. There's so much control that wells up. But if you would sit down today and just shoot straight with each other and say, where are we at on this love and respect deal? Admitting that you need change in your marriage is not a bad thing. Embrace grace and move forward this afternoon in the way that you need to. And here's where it gets really glorious, is that love and respect are both potent. They're powerful. All right, the Bible teaches that this kind of love is effective, right? That this kind of respect is powerful, that this sort of love bestows loveliness, and this kind of respect bestows respectability. Husbands cannot duplicate the love of Christ, which made his bride lovely. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But while we cannot duplicate this kind of love, husbands are told to imitate it, to be imitators of his love, to do your best to imitate it. And in imitating it, we see some of the comparable effects. A woman who is loved by her husband is a woman who grows in loveliness, right? And he washes her with the water of the word, as it says in Ephesians 5:26. The entire passage assumes that this kind of love bestows loveliness. And the same kind of potency can be found in a godly woman's respect and honor and reverence for her husband. Peter tells us that reverent behavior can break down a man's disobedient spirit. My man's so arrogant. He's so wrapped up in himself. It's easy for us to do that. You know, I've been told that in the womb, there's like half our brain is washed over by some chemical or acid. And so we're narrow-minded. We can't multitask. And so we zero in on whatever we're passionate about. And we can't have two passions. There's no way you can pull for two football teams. One, I don't have enough bandwidth for that. You decide to have a second child. I can only focus on the first one. Zero in that passion on the one that you said I do to. The results can be astonishing when we learn the power of love and respect in all of our relationships, but especially our marriage relationships. Amen? Father, we come to you as the band comes forward, and I pray that we wouldn't make an emotional response today, but that we would honestly drop our pride and see that looking in one another in the eyes, even in this moment right now, when we continue to worship, just acknowledging that we need change and we need to work on this. I pray that marriages would get on their knees, surrendering their marriage to you and asking for your help to learn to love and respect greater than they already are. It definitely wouldn't hurt to take the next step towards loving and respecting deeper. God, I pray for our marriages. I pray for our families. God, you've put it on my heart a long time ago that a big part of the difficulties that we see in our world is not because of who's in office, not because of who is in our government, but because of the homes that they grew up in. I truly believe that a lot of what our future, our children, our grandchildren, our nieces and nephews, are experiencing is creating this catalyst for something that we don't want to see in 10 and 15 and 20 years. So I pray that this morning that each husband and wife would understand the legacy that they're leaving because of the way that they love and respect one another. And that they would do something about it. Help us to respond in obedience. And it's in your awesome name that we thank you for your grace, the ability to move forward, the ability to forgive and be forgiven, and to cling greater than we ever have to those words, I do. Amen.